you're John.
I'm John.
And I'm fiddling with the radiator. It's fucking roasting in here. This is at home. It's a small room, the radiator's on, there's no need to open the windows.
Yes.
And this is All Yesterday's Party. It's the podcast that you all know. And possibly love, I don't know. I don't know
or
you.
Or at least...
tolerate.
Yeah.
As long as you listen to it, I don't care.
Yeah, as long as you use it as a background for washing your dishes. Or
yeah, or sprucing your minge. What? I don't know. I don't have a minge. What do you do with them? We're probably going to edit that bit out. Anyway, while John's having hysterics about something I maybe didn't say, we are, as before, covering the acts that are playing at the Safe as Milk Festival. John's having problems. Yes, the Safe as Milk Festival 2017 at Prestat in Pontins. And we're discussing that, and we've got some guests. Once again, we've got Gordon, who's picking up some random books. I don't know, how bored are you? I don't know.
I was just wondering why there's a load of books, but they don't seem to be the kind of books that I would read.
Excellent. And we
are recording this at King Street Studios in Newcastle under Lyme.
Almost like we're some kind of professional outfit or something. He's gone back for more.
Yeah.
We're lost in for a bit, so we'll talk about our other guests, Matt Tyra.
Yeah, I've been here since we last recorded this. I've been sleeping here.
It's been a long week.
It has.
Yes. Yeah. So yeah, as per our usual thing,
my hygiene is breaking down.
I know.
Yeah, I think we're all breaking down. let's talk about what beers we're drinking. You've got one that I've had before, haven't you?
I have. Well, I had this one before as well, but I couldn't really remember having much of a strong opinion on it, so I wanted a second one.
Okay.
I put the cap back on and left it a week, but last week I started the Neapolitan Milk Stout. And yes, I like it. It is good.
Is it good?
It has a faintly cakey taste.
Faintly cakey taste?
Faintly cakey taste.
Marvellous.
Yes, I'm a buttery, flaky crust.
Oh, crud. That thing. Buffy biscuit base as well. Stop picking up random books, you mad bastard.
I saw Ricky, and do you remember in Boys in the Hood, there's that scene where Ricky gets shot, and they go, Ricky!
No.
Are you thinking of EastEnders? Ricky!
No, not that one. And it's been sampled in loads of old drum and bass and stuff. What happened to Ricky? You know, but it didn't sound like that.
Brilliant.
Yeah, edit.
So Gordon, what beer has Matt inflicted on you?
It is called Adams.
Adnams.
General Adnams. Well, better.
Southwold.
It looks kind of North Korean.
It's from Norfolk, I think.
Close.
I think Norfolk, or is it?
Why has he got a band?
No, it's not Norfolk, is it? It's Kent. I don't know.
I'm trying to see if it's.
My UK geography is remarkably poor when it comes to things outside of Devon.
It doesn't actually say anywhere in the bottle, does it?
Let's stick with North Korea then.
Yeah.
I mean, we're having Adnams Southwold Bitter from North Korea.
It tastes a bit like the one I had in the other episode, but not as good.
All right.
So less okay.
Less okay.
Less okay.
So you've got a sliding scale of okayness, is that?
Yeah. Right? Everything's in that kind of okay to not okay realm, and everything in between is. Yeah.
So this is a bitter rather than a. Blonde.
It tastes stronger. I think I prefer blonde.
It isn't stronger.
It's actually 0.1% less strong than the
Boom
Bubble. It's just
gentlemen do prefer blondes.
It's just different ingredients and different ratio. Well, it's the same ingredients just in different ratios.
Like humans, really.
Yes, like humans.
In a way.
Or living things.
Mm. Yeah.
So what beer are you drinking, Mike?
I'll tell you about the beer I'm drinking, John. So you're drinking one that I drank in a previous episode.
Yeah.
I'm drinking one that you mentioned in a previous episode, which is the Chocolate Marble, because you were very excitable about it.
I was.
Chocolate Marble brewed by Marble Brewery in Manchester.
Yeah.
Manchester.
Manchester. It's delightful.
Still doing
isn't
this?
It? Yeah. Yeah. Manchester.
Martin Chest.
Is there a JD Sports in Manchester?
There is a JD Sports, you know.
Well, no, because there's. Do you remember there was like an MC rhythm, you know, about the bombings in Manchester? I don't know if you want to go there, but. No, I don't mean Manchester. I mean,
yeah. Yeah. It's like, let's take this on the road.
Like, what was it? Like, down where I live in Manchester, Blark, Jay. Oh, no, I can't remember that. But anyway, the moral of the story was you've got to be careful where you buy your trainers.
Because, in case you get bombed.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, that was it. Down where I live in Manchester, high explosive in the city centre, Blark, JD, Marks and Spencer, be careful in town where I buy my trainer. Although it was said in a more sort of West Indian sort of influence...
patois.
Influenza?
Yes. Yes, exactly. For which my rhythm doesn't quite extend to.
Well, I think we've all said a lot today there, John.
I did.
Shall we just end the fucking episode then?
Just kidding.
Shall we move on to the actual content of this? You look knackered, mate.
Yeah.
<There we go. laughs> Excellent. Right
then.
Right, so I'll lead in with a little bit of the bio from the Saber's Milk website.
Give some spiel.
I will give it some. Our first thought on hearing More Mother and the album Fetish Bones? This sounds like...
Fetish Bones?
Stop it! This sounds like Madonna Roberts fronting Death Grips! Shut it! In the best possible way, of course, though, like any such comparison, it's inevitably a shorthand for something more. And there's much more to Kamei Aoyewa's sometimes dark, occasionally tortured, sonically revelatory album.
You are doing this a lot better than me.
I am, aren't I?
Yeah.
I'm not going to deny it. You can if you want. You can do Nurse with Wound when we get around to that later. If you have to.
Okay.
All right.
Sweet.
The power. But yeah, basically they're throwing around in the following paragraphs the fact that she's a poet, a soundscape artist, and an Afrofuturist.
Yes.
And yeah, I've got opinions about her work. John, have you?
Shall we start with Gordon?
Shall we?
I think I was the last person to give the first opinion.
The last?
That's the last person to give the first opinion. I like that. It's almost poetic.
Well,
Gordon.
It was an interesting one for me, because...
I think it's an interesting one for everyone.
It kind of sounded a bit like a distorted version of the Skull Disco sound, you know, like the Shackleton, Appleblim type of sound. But an American take on UK grime, but yet quite subdued. It was kind of a really weird experience listening to this and made me feel a bit uncomfortable, but interested. I'm not sure I could listen to loads of it for an extended period of time, but I would be interested to see what they do live. I think it could be quite entertaining in a kind of obscure, loose sense of the term.
I'm kind of following a bit of what you're saying there. It was an uncomfortable listen.
Yeah,
I would say it was quite oppressive, quite brutal in parts. There's a lot of noise going on there, but I do enjoy a bit of noise. You know, I've listened to bits and bobs of Merzbow in the past and thoroughly enjoyed it. And that's a difficult fucking lesson. But yeah, I can see when they're getting the poetry and the Afrofuturism, because underneath all of the loudness, the kind of the Sturm und Drang of the whole thing, she's declaring with an awful lot of anger.
Yes.
And it just... The overall... I listened to this whilst walking home from work in the dark. As I will do sometime. This was actually, in some ways, an awful and brilliant decision at the same time. It added an awful lot to the experience, whilst meaning I was absolutely shitting myself as I was walking home.
Because
the whole thing almost sounds not so much like it was made, as it was just kind of, the tapes just haunted by the spirits of murdered slaves and their downtrodden descendants, you know. it's a grueling experience, but almost a necessary one, especially for a bunch of white bastards like us, you know, yes. to really get the feel for you know, for what it was like to be and what it still is like to be, you know, an African American.
Yeah.
Or indeed, yeah, pretty much any culture that isn't white in most countries.
Pretty much, yes.
So we
are admittedly not raising the diversity stuff.
Christ, no, not lately, especially. I remember that last episode we had where we talked about how we wanted to get in some more of people of colour and also of women just to diversify. And what we've done, we brought in another two white blokes.
But you don't know, though, because it's not video, is it?
Well, okay.
Even so, it's nice to have the opinions of people that don't look like us.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Admittedly, even though it's not video, we have just given the game away.
Yeah, we are white. We are white and white and white on that.
People might have had completely different images.
We probably haven't, mate.
You just, yeah, as soon as I post that photo on Facebook.
But yeah, I think I enjoyed it, if enjoyed is the right word.
Yes.
It's because it is.
Enjoyed the experience.
It's a hell of a thing. And I actually am very interested to see what she does. As for the live set, I also, just to expand on this, there was also a little free thing on Bandcamp that I picked up as well, which is just instrumental, and it's got kind of a jazzy thing to it. It plays a bit with weirdness and a bit of noise, not as much as Fetish Bones does.
Yes,
but it has a bit more of a jazzy and a bit more of a playful vibe to it. And so I don't know, maybe she might kind of feed some of that into the performance. But
yeah.
Either way, I'd be fascinated to see what she's like on stage.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not going to lie. I cannot for the life of me remember what much of the backing tracks sound like, because I was so captivated by the power, the energy of her delivery.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's very difficult themes. As you said, it's a tough listen. But the intensity of the way that the poetic narrative unfolded over whatever it was, I can't remember, because I was so hooked in by the delivery.
A lot of
the music ended up being secondary to me.
The music a lot of the time was kind of like jazz under 10 kilos of static.
Yes.
You know, it was very noisy.
It provided
helicopter sounds.
Yeah.
Oh, I remember that now. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely.
But I thought that just gave this intense... I've used the word intense a few too many times,
well,
but it's
intense
exactly
is the
right
word.
Word.
It's the perfect word.
The delivery of the poetic form over this very dark landscape musically... It just came together really, really well. And I'm looking forward to seeing what that looks like.
Yes.
Yeah.
Can't disagree with you then.
No. Same for me, really. Having, over the last few months, been watching very intently via things like Twitter and paying attention to what people in America are saying, this album really resonates.
It was an additionally uncomfortable listen off the back of that.
Yeah, and the way in which the narrator sort of travels from sort of 18th century, 17th century up to now, and then up to now listing, but only by first names, if I remember rightly, but listing the victims of police shootings in America.
Mm.
In the same breath as being a slave in
it's kind of cross generational atrocities against black Americans, really.
Yeah, it's very intense. I don't think there are many other ways to describe it. It's a difficult listen, but I think in a necessary one. And like you say, the way it could translate to stage could be very interesting indeed.
I did like the way you used the word narrator there as well, because that is definitely what it feels like.
Mm.
Yeah,
it's for anything else you'd have said the artist or the singer or whatever, but yeah, she's a narrator.
She's inhabiting multiple voices through one voice.
And it's a storytelling album.
Yeah. It's I thought it was fantastic. I thought it was also very difficult. Again, and as well, you know, it's in terms of the music I generally tend to listen to, I'm very first chorus, middle eight, chorus.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
No.
Many a great tune has been made on that structure.
And some dreadful ones.
And some god-awful ones, but yeah.
But, and this does not drop into the pigeonhole of stuff that I would generally choose to listen to. So, yeah. But there's been a lot of things in the Safer's Milk lineup that don't fall into that category that I haven't enjoyed. Mm. But this falls into, I don't know, there's something too big about it to
complete the sentence.
Dismiss. Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, it's got a huge scope, and what it does on stage, I really hope reflects that scope.
Absolutely. Yeah. Right, and now previously I hadn't actually heard. I was fucking going again.
I won't get it.
All right. I thought you were going to get another book. I'd never heard of More Mother before any of this, but moving on now to an artist I had heard of, yes. Nurse with Wound. And now Matt is actually going to be filling us in.
You simple fools. That's how I start everything I say, by the way.
It's true.
Stephen Stapleton's Evolving Collective began their music life with homage to the pillars of adventurous music by including the legendary Nurse with Wound list within their first album, Chance Meeting on a Dissecting Table of a Sewing Machine and an Umbrella.
That is a great album title.
Also what I have in my basement. Since they've joined such list luminaries as Henry Cow, Faust, John Cage and Soft Machine and become pillars themselves, surfacing around the same time as Throbbing Gristle's first album, NWW... Are we abbreviating now?
Yeah,
Newer. Were regarded by many as part of the industrial scene. Though Stapleton says their intentions were always fired more by free improvisation and krautrock. Stapleton is the one constant in Nmuda, a band with evolving membership that has previously drawn in members and collaborators such as Jim O'Rourke, William Bennett, Stereolab, Sun, Zero, and David Tibet, settling in...
That is the twattiest pronunciation of that name I've ever heard. Sun, Zero,
How else do you communicate that?
You just pronounce it Sun.
Oh. No, I'm not doing that. They wrote it. It's their decision. If I sound like a dick, it's their.
What about if you went bracket?
Wait,
it's not a bracket. It's a parenthesis. A bracket is square.
Oh, Christ. All right, so shall we stop there?
Nurse with Wound returned to life. After a 21-year absence, appearances are pretty rare, so that's good, isn't it?
Yeah, it is good, isn't it? John, is that good?
Yeah.
Matt?
So, the album I chose to listen to is, as we mentioned before, I think the most recent is going to be the most interesting indicator of what we're going to see.
Possibly.
You
never know with someone like this with the
Wound. No. Well, I listened to Dark Fat, which was released last year. The first thing it reminded me of when I listened to it, a couple of years ago, I went to
I've been there.
Yeah. A couple of years ago.
Shit.
I don't know, the bandstand's quite nice.
Hey,
a couple of years ago, I went to an immersive theatre experience by Punch Drunk.
Yes.
Theatre company.
I remember you mentioning it.
And it's an amazing...
I don't. Tell me everything.
Well, no, it's a...
It, more detail. More detail.
What the company does is that they take a building that's soon to be demolished.
What kind of building?
Well, in this instance...
More detail.
In this instance...
You're the kind of person who plays text adventures in verbose, aren't you? Was that even too nerdy for you?
No.
that was an Infocom specific joke there.
It's one of those Reclaim the Community things.
What they do is they put on a production. So instead of using a regular normal theatre, instead of it being on a stage, they turn the whole interior of a building. In this instance, it was the old post office that was in Paddington in London. And they take the whole interior of the building and turn it into a series of different sets. And the performance goes around all the building. There's 27 characters. You choose which characters you want to follow, or you, if you want to stay in the room, if you just want to explore the building and just encounter bits of the theatre as you find them, that's how it works.
But so it's like a murder mystery train ride.
Almost, but you're on your feet and no one dies.
And you don't get at any point to interrogate actors.
No. All the audience wear masks so that you know who the performers are, and it just adds.
That just sounds well spooky. I love that.
It's brilliant.
It's a load of people milling around, staring at other people whilst wearing masks.
Yeah, it's
I must invite you to one of my parties.
But it's got this amazing aesthetic. But one of the key things about it is the sound design that goes all the way around the building. So all different rooms and all different places have.
It's almost tragic. Sorry, very nearly spilt my beer then.
Also, John is almost tragic.
But yeah, so there's really intense different levels of sounds going on all around the building. Now, Nurse with Wounds Dark Fat reminded me of that.
And that rhymed, so you know it's true.
Yeah, there were some really interesting moments in it. There's almost some fourth wall breaks during the album where you can hear people talking to one another about how the sound ought to go at this next point.
Mm.
And then it's a very difficult listen, and I have to admit I had to skip some bits of it because it was starting to freak me out quite a lot.
Yeah.
But again, like many of the acts, they've done something really interesting, very original, and it will be interesting again. I think we've said this for probably 90% of the acts we've seen, how this would translate onto the stage.
It does seem to be a recurring theme, doesn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah. It's fair for it to be a recurring theme. It's apt for pretty much everyone.
Yeah.
Matt?
I think... I didn't listen to an album. I listened to, I think, what was like the top five on Spotify.
Yeah.
And...
not a bad way to approach
with an
enormous array of output.
Yeah, I just kind of had a scattergun approach with the way I approached all of the different artists.
Yeah.
I think that there is an incredible breadth of different styles and feels across his oeuvre.
I too like to feel across a nice breadth.
Yeah.
I didn't know you.
I'll lay you over a chasm.
I'm sorry.
what I was going to say is I think it has the potential to be really, really good, but I think my enjoyment of the set is going to be determined by the choice of material.
Mm.
I mean, that's always true
mm.
with any band, because mm. that's just the nature of the beast, but I think that's particularly true just because of the stylistic, how...
That's fair enough. So you just kind of had a little bit of a grab bag of whatever was popular.
Yeah. I never get helped.
I already had a couple of Nurse with Wound tracks in my collection. I had Simple Headphone Mind, which they did with Stereolab, which was, it's, love that track so much. It starts weird, then goes into kind of a synth pop, slightly funky vibe, and then it ends weird again. And it's great. And also, let me just remind myself of the name of it. Because all the names, there's this one album, three albums they did, it's called Shipwreck Radio. And they did volume one, volume two, and then...
Volume three?
The final volume.
Oh.
Or the final broadcast, I think it was called. So no, not volume three.
what? Why do volume one and volume two and then just leave it hanging like that?
I know.
It would be better to give each one a name.
It's almost like they're an experimental electronica act. And
do your experimental album names better, Nurse with Wounds?
Yeah, you twat.
Blue-balled me.
basically, for these recordings, they went to this place called Lofoten in Norway and did a bit of kind of a found sound thing. They would interview people and then be some kind of found sound recordings. And they'd splice it all together, and then they would broadcast it on the local radio station.
And then they collected the various ones, and they just named them by the date that the original broadcast was done. And I'd listened to June 15th, which was, it was on a Rough Trades counterculture compilation, and it's fascinating because it's a lot of loops of people talking, so it's very repetitive, but then it just kind of builds and develops and changes, and it's very hypnotic. But then after, I decided to pick up something new, so I went onto eBay to see what was cheap, and I ended up picking up Terms and Conditions Apply, which is this from
what
the period
you have to tick before you're actually allowed to buy them.
Yes, yes.
Well, well done.
And it was very disappointing, frankly.
Just words, lots of words.
I just ticked a box, and it was very pillow. But it's a compilation of kind of offcuts and remixes and rarities and a couple of EPs during the period that Andrew Lyles was part of Nursery Wind.
Yeah.
And again, there's this kind of very experimental, obviously there's parts where it's going to be challenging.
Yeah.
But they don't half enjoy a proper good muck about.
Mm. Yes.
There is a real sense of fun to so much of what they do. That then it just seems whoever is part of the band at any given point. I mean, like you read out earlier, it's all based around one guy, but he works with so many different other people. Whoever is present for the recordings, they just seem to want to have fun.
Yeah,
that's such
an important thing with any recorded work is
yeah.
There's nothing that kills an album faster than it sounding like a band who are just not into it at all.
But also with experimental music, it can get so pretentious so quickly.
Yes.
That if you've got a spirit of play to it, it kills that pretension dead in the water straight away because it's funny.
You hear that Kraftwerk?
You hear that? Question. You said Andrew Lyles was part of the band
for a bit.
Really?
Andrew Lyles works with Nursery Wind.
I did not know that because I've actually got some of his stuff and it's great.
He's an
old TV and a sofa that he really ought to get back.
there's some of his books over there.
the one that I got most recently was a horror soundtrack, which is very good.
Was it to a movie? Was it?
No, it's this one, The Maleficent Monster and Other Macabre Stories. I was a fan of the Slasher Dave stuff, which is kind of a whole different.
Andrew Lyles, it's very doubtful he'll be performing with it. It was a while ago that he was actually part of the Nursewood Wound. It just so happened that one album that I bought off eBay heavily featured Andrew Lyles.
Because my approach to this, because it's not a band I was familiar with, so
it's scarcely even a band. I mean, when it comes down to it, it's one guy.
Amalgamation.
It's a project.
It's a project.
Marriage of convenience.
Bit of a
yes.
Flip through YouTube and things were like generally an hour or more.
Yeah,
you get that a lot.
Yeah. So I thought, you know what? This actually sounds quite interesting. I'm not going to listen to any of this. I'm going to save it.
I like this. Fucking terrible.
I wasn't sure how to approach it. I want to experience it properly for the first time at the festival.
That kind of echoes why I kind of stopped after I listened to a couple of things on Spotify.
I think it's kind of. I'm thinking that the Nurse with Wounds set might be similar to our experience of Boredoms at ATP 2016.
Hopefully.
Because that was a big surprise. But also, no one in that room knew what those fuckers were going to do. Because Boredoms, much like Nurse with Wounds, have a strong experimental streak and a strong playful streak. And when the two interweave, it's magical.
There's one interesting thing on their last album. The first two tracks are something like 7 or 8 minutes long each.
It's quite short for Nurse with Wound.
Because I walked to the supermarket having listened to like good 20 minutes worth of it and thought, well, I must be quite a way through it now, and I looped and I was only on track two. But there's a thing right in those first two tracks where they have some really odd, creepy, reverberated sounds. And they've taken a woman's vocal from a song I don't know whether it was sung especially for them or whether they took those samples, but in my left earphone was one part of the song, and the other earphone was the other part of the song. They were just running two different parts of the same song concurrently.
Oh, that sounds beautiful.
It was really, really weird.
I'm going to have to check that out. But there was one track in particular from Terms and Conditions that I really enjoyed. It was actually one of the more accessible and more comical tracks. Let me just try and remember the title of it. Sarah's Beloved Aunt. Hmm. And it's kind of it's almost like a slap bass funk odyssey.
Yes.
With a chopped up Mills and Boone audio tape. I don't know if the vocal is supposed to sound pervy, but it definitely does.
Yes.
It's all a bit kind of almost like a carry-on sexuality to it, where yes. What they're saying isn't necessarily dirty, but you're interpreting it as dirty. Yeah. There's no doubt about it.
There are some good track titles. One of the track titles on Dark Fat is Congealed Entrance.
That's like not the 9 o'clock news joke.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is
it? Yeah, when it was just one of those sort of almost throwaway sketches where they had a sign to the blood bank and just panned down to a sign saying caution, congealed entrance.
I think we've exercised nurse with room quite well though. Shall we sting this up?
Yeah. Sting it up.
Particularly with the mention of boredoms.
That is very appropriate.
Yeah, so,
apropos of boredoms.
Actually, I was going to point that out, but since you pointed that out, I'll point out that you pointed it out. But since John pointed out that you pointed it out, I'll point out that John pointed out that you pointed it out.
I'm going to cry.
Yeah, there we go. and you'd break him eventually. So yeah, on all that pointing, let's move on to O-O-I-O-O.
Oh, so it's not OOIO.
I did wonder for a while.
00100.
We're having
circle.
We're having so many pronunciation difficulties.
Oh, my arse. My pronunciation. It is definitely O-O-I-O-O. Because right. If you look on Bandcamp, it actually says, pronounced O-O-I-O-O.
Oh.
E-I-E-I-O.
Indeed. On the Safe as Milk website, they say, you'll probably know Yoshimi Pee-wee as a core member of that great Japanese institution. What?
The boredoms.
Just boredoms, Matt, come on. Don't embarrass yourself. And, and as
you were calling Nurse with Wound the Nurse with Wound earlier. Hot kettle.
At no point did I call them the Nurse with Wound.
You did.
I did not.
I mentally logged it. Well, when you listen back, you will be mortified.
When I listen back, I'll be laughing at you.
That's fine, I won't be here.
Fair enough. So, Japanese institution, those boredoms. And as
them boredoms.
And as the subject of the flaming lips as they have these days, owed in her honour, Yoshimi battles the pink robots. You may also know that in 1997 she formed a fake band called O-O-I-O-O.
Ooh-you.
To open for Sonic Youth, complete with stickers on frets to remind them where to play. From those theatrical beginnings, Yoshimi has honed into a pristine rhythmic machine of thunderous beats, infectious chants, call and response vocals, and what can genuinely be described as transcendent music. So, Gordon, let's come to you for some opinion on O-O-I-O-O.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. That's Gordon's contribution.
Well, up until last year, I've never heard of the board.
Yeah.
Boredoms.
Don't embarrass yourself, Gordon.
It's like poking a band.
A band which obviously doesn't exist.
What?
Boredoms.
Boredoms, yes.
Boredoms. Well, I was referring to the band.
Boredoms.
Like the actual individual members of each band.
So I suppose by that account, you could call them the Boredoms.
That's why I did earlier. Yeah.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
And so I wasn't quite sure when listening to this, and it reminds me of when I've seen videos of shouty Japanese style music on the internet.
Mm. Is that because it's shouty Japanese style music?
And I listen to it on the internet.
Yes.
It was good. I don't really have a lot to say, really.
Thanks, well, grand.
Apart from two, really.
Really?
But I'll be watching.
Cool.
If it's a them.
No, it is a them. It's a four-piece band. Mm. All women.
So I thought they were electronic. All Japanese women. A completely different thing altogether.
No, they're very, very drum-heavy a lot of the time. I mean, well, Yoshimi is the drummist. Okay. From Boredoms.
The
drummer. So she does
a drummer from Boredoms.
Well, the most consistently present drummer from Boredoms.
In the one you saw, or in the one that I saw?
She's
because they had a lot of drums.
Oh yes.
The first few times I saw.
Granted, yes, you saw them on the Boer drum performance.
I saw Boer drum, and I saw whatever the one after that was. I don't think it had a name.
But she's the. The drummer that has been present most frequently in Boredoms.
She drums.
Yes. She was at the performance that we saw at ATP.
She was the one drumming.
Oh, yeah. Right.
She was the girl one of the drummers.
Was that the one where she played the drum and somebody cheered?
No,
that
it was the bloke.
That was the bloke
with
the baseball cap.
Yeah.
I loved your remark actually on that episode where somebody went, "Hey," and Alice said, "I left at that point." And Mike said, "Oh, did they become too popular for you?"
But yeah, it's her from the Boredoms.
Oh, yeah.
And three of her mates.
Okay.
And yeah, it's as you'd expect, there's a lot of kind of quite a rhythmic aspect because she obviously plays the drums and does so very well. But this is quite a jazziness here. I listen to Tiger and Armonico Hua because I was already familiar with a few bits and bobs of OOIOO. They were actually one of the bands that when I heard they were playing at Safer's Milk, I thought, I have to go to Safer's Milk because I really want to see this band.
Yeah.
And I just expanded my knowledge base by picking up a couple of albums off Bandcamp, and by God, I'm glad I did. It's great stuff. It rattles and it rocks and it makes great big noise, and then it has jazzy interludes and it's all over the place in very exciting ways, and yeah, love it. Very excited.
I echo everything that's been said so far, really. I really enjoyed it. I haven't bought any yet, but I am going to. I really like it. I really can't wait to see it. I have nothing further. John?
I enjoyed it. I thought it was good. There was some, I listened to an album which is called Gamel.
Quite a recent one, I think, though, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah. You're going with the most recent album, probably most relevant to the performance, kind
yes,
of deal.
Yeah, yeah.
I listened to Gamel as well.
And as well as all the interesting stuff that's there musically, all the vocal work and all the sort of the harmonies and all that sort of stuff works really well. Also, the way the vocals combine with the music is really interesting, and it's really good.
I haven't got
a massive amount to say. I didn't fall in love with it the way I did with like Grupa, Circle, or Anna Meredith.
Farmints as well.
It didn't.
I'm gonna do that now.
It didn't.
You're going shopping now.
Yeah, I'm going shopping right now.
It wasn't a negative listening experience, which for me is always a relief. So yeah,
and you know they're gonna bring it live.
Yeah,
well, I mean, good God.
I think that'll be a lot of fun to watch on stage. More so than I think Boredoms was.
Boredoms was a trying experience for about the first 15 minutes.
And I mean, and even so, once it kicked in, like sonically, it was very punishing.
Mm.
So I came away from Boredoms feeling like my ears had taken a bit of a punishment. Whereas OOIOO doesn't have that same.
They do feel a bit lighter than Boredoms.
Yeah, and to be honest, given a lot of stuff that we've listened to so far, lighter is definitely good because you need something to temper some of the really dark.
Oh God, yeah, yeah.
Stuff that we've heard so far.
But you know what, John?
What?
You know what is dark? Mm. All the horrible shit that's going on outside your chalet right now.
All that raining milk.
All the raining milk and all the horrible shit and.
Was Raining Milk by Slayer?
Raining, yeah, no. Raining Milk is actually by Chrome.
Oh.
But you can have some Raining Blood as well if you want. It's raining awfulness. and there's just horrible shit going on inside his chalet.
Yeah.
But, oh, inside the chalet though, inside the chalet you've got a nice warm bed, and Nathan Fillion sat there, he wants to talk to you about that Firefly fan script that you wrote. He wants to read it with you. And he's, you know,
whose fantasy in this room do you think that is? Is it yours? Are you are you projecting?
I'm projecting on John, I think. Yeah.
It's right.
All over his face.
Here's a towel.
But yeah, but basically there's awfulness outside, there's loveliness inside, fresh baked biscuits inside, and freshly
ginger nuts.
Freshly crimped shit outside.
Barbed wire.
Barbed wire, yeah, shit outside. Yeah. But what is going to make you leave your comfy, cozy, beautiful chalet and go into the horrible, murky bullshit outside? Which one of those apps is going to make you do it? John!
I think I'm going to have to say OOIOO. I haven't really thought about it up to now, but everything else is either slightly oppressive or slightly mind-bendy, and OOIOO is quite light.
Mm, it's one of the more fun options, isn't
it? Yeah. I mean, I would pick, like Gordon said last week, I would pick any of those depending on the mood. I really want to see what Mole Mother does.
Mm.
I really want to see what all of them do in terms of what they put on stage.
It is, in many ways, the most interesting of the four sets of episodes we're going to be recording today.
Yes.
Over
the next 4 weeks.
Shut up, John. We're not fooling anybody. I've got several bottles of beer.
I have stayed here a whole week to do this.
I've got several bottles of beer here.
But that's because of a problem.
Yes.
So
you didn't have to say it.
My gut instinct says OOIOO.
You should trust your gut, John. That's cool. Matt, if we can distract you away from buying varmints right now.
I think compared to the three we looked at last week, I think this is a much harder choice.
Yes.
I concur.
Because
can you?
Because I really want to see all of these acts for very different reasons.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I'm going to have to go with what John said and go to 00100.
Oh dear me, you went with a binary solo there, very nice.
00000100000001100000001. Come on, sucker, lick my battery.
Okay. Run away. Enough of that. I agree with both of you for all of the reasons you've stated, and also because I was already a massive fan of OOIOO, and so, and as I previously stated, one of the reasons why I agreed to come to the frigging festival in the first place.
Yeah.
So if I didn't go and see them, what was the whole point? But I really, 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 I mean, Nurse with Wound, very interested, really have to go and see More Mother. I really just, I want to get into that. Yeah. It's just, If she'd been in any other grouping, let me just iron them up. Yeah, I think in most of the other groupings, I may well have got lent on More Mother, but in this one, OOIOO, just because I have to.
Yeah. This was a really difficult group.
Yes. Gordon.
I'll probably see all three.
Fuck.
That's not the option.
Once again, Gordon, you have to pick one. It's a game.
Well, so it's the top three, is it, that I would go and see? The top
the three? No,
the three that we've just talked about.
One of the three, yeah.
It would be between Nurse with Wound and the OO101.
Jesus Christ.
You see, I'd be quite interested to see. Well,
just
a hard one, you know.
It is.
Name your sex tape.
Hey! Too obvious.
Ideally, I would go to see the 001010s, but then I would see.
Is he trolling us now?
Nurse with Wound afterwards, because they would be on straight after. I think that would work quite
well. So, OOU.
Followed by Nurse with Wound. Or the other way around.
You don't get a followed by.
You have to pick one.
Okay.
So, were we unanimous?
OOIOO. Oh. You want to go with them?
Oh.
So we are unanimous?
We are, yeah.
Excellent.
That's first.
No, it's not, John.
Well, it is. For the four of us.
Yeah, but for this, for out of these two episodes, yes, it is a first. But out of the six episodes you've done so far, not so much.
No. So, that's been grand.
You have the power to end this.
I do. Right, so
end it now. I'm down.
Thank you for listening this week, and we will see you next week for more Safer's Milk top picks.
Or just later this afternoon.
I'm going to get back in my sleeping bag until next week.
Good. Okie dokie. I will zip you up and make you a hot water bottle.
You have been listening to All Yesterday's Parties.
Aren't you glad you did?
We're all glad you listened. The music is by Attack of the Vapors, and the podcast is hosted by Audio Boom.
No.
No.
There's no lights and there's a really weird big speaker.
Yes.
Welcome to the room.
Thanks. How long have we been in here?
I can solve one of those problems.
Shit.
Oh, there's lights.
Now there's lights.
I thought they were sprinklers. Because I was thinking, why is there so many sprinklers? Well, probably because of the smoke lines or something.
Shall I keep the lights on and turn them off?
I think we don't need them on right now, but thanks. Right. He can't do much about the big speaker, though.
Well, no,
just... It's not a threat, don't worry. It's not a Doctor Who villain in disguise.
He just starts emitting gas.
At last I have you, Mr. Gordon!
I've never seen a speaker that looks like this. It's just like a drumstick.
One of those tower speakers.
So after all that ripple...